Welcome to episode 3 of The Short Way Home. I'm your host, Michael Chin. This podcast is released in conjunction with my new book, The Long Way Home, from Cowboy Jamboree Press. Cowboy Jamboree Press, Good Grit Lit. It's also home to titles like Darren Dean's I'll Still Be Here Long After You're Gone. Visit them online at cowboyjamboreemagazine.com. Thank you to Adam Van Winkle, the founder and general editor over at Cowboy Jamboree, for not only his collaboration on bringing my new book into the world, but the art for the book cover and this podcast artwork. Okay, so for this episode, I'm going to be focusing on Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. This is from NXT TakeOver New Orleans. That happened over WrestleMania 34 weekend, April 7th, 2018, in front of about 14,000 fans at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. Sometimes I have to wonder if the name of an arena starts to undermine kind of the gravitas of what goes on there. I know it's just a corporate sponsorship thing, but you know, you talk about like Madison Square Garden or the Boston Garden or the United Center, kind of, you know, titles like that. And then you talk about the Smoothie King Center. That doesn't quite sound so serious. But nonetheless, it was a serious event. I actually call NXT TakeOver New Orleans the best event of the last 18 years. The closest one that I can say, I think arguably tops it, or at least matches it, is probably WrestleMania 17 from 2001. I would say, you know, that WrestleMania 17, In Your House, Calgary Stampede from a few years before that, and NXT TakeOver New Orleans are the trifecta to me of the three best, WWE shows, at least that I'm aware of, at least, pay-per-view shows. Money in the Bank 2011 is probably competitive with those. If you wanted to raise an argument for something else within, you know, this last 18 to 20 year period, that would probably be the one. But I'll say, you know, kind of the cardinal signs of, you know, all time great shows. You know, obviously it's, you know, match quality, but also argue qualities like, you know, variety and efficiency are also important. So variety in terms of, you know, offering, you know, a number of different kinds of matches that'll please different kinds of audiences and sort of pacing out the night appropriately, and efficiency. This show, NXT TakeOver New Orleans, clocks in at under 3 hours, and I would say the only show among those, you know, top three or four that goes over that 3 hour mark is WrestleMania 17. But you know, NXT TakeOver New Orleans, it starts with an insane ladder match to crown the first North American champion. It was kind of Adam Cole's coming out partying that way to debut night for you know, Ricochet, who went on to be a pretty big deal in WWE, and EC3, who didn't end up to be such a big deal in WWE, at least not today, which is kind of disappointing. But in any event, you know, between that, you know, a number of other, you know, very good matches, a great tag title match in there, a great women's championship match with Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon. So just a really good show, and Aleister Black winning the NXT title off of Andrade. You know, a lot of important stuff. But I think it's telling that this is the match that got to main event the show, Gargano versus Ciampa. It's the main event, last match to go on, despite not having a title attached to it. It's my pick for the match of the year in 2018. I think it's a technically brilliant match that also offers moments of brutality. And it's the kind of match that in a vacuum, I think, is great. So if you have access to, or have a friend who has access to the WWE Network, and you want to just watch this one, I'd say it's, you know, whatever, 37 minutes or so well spent. You don't necessarily need a lot of history going in, though I think it does get better with some history. You know, it's a grudge match. It's a match with a significant story behind it. And, you know, it's important to know that because it's not the first time that these guys wrestled. They've been on the indies together. They were good friends. It's very well documented. And WWE didn't shy away from that history that they had in between them. They knew each other. You know, they'd been each other's weddings. They'd competed in the Cruiserweight Classic tournament. That was kind of their introduction to WWE audiences before they made their way over to NXT. And they seemed like two guys who, you know, were just kind of going to be filling a spot on the roster and, you know, may or may not wind up in the Cruiserweight division, or maybe, you know, as lower mid card guys on the main roster proper. But, you know, throughout their time at NXT, went from having sort of a professional rivalry to becoming this pretty amazing tag team as DIY, or I guess officially hashtag DIY. And I never got the hashtag choice. I think that's a little bit misguided there. But regardless, you know, they became a pretty remarkable team, especially their matches opposite the Revival were kind of instant classics. And they put on some really good matches with the Authors of Pain as well. But, you know, they split up, you know, kind of at their peak as a team after they'd really gotten over in that role. It forced a situation where, you know, it wasn't clear what either guy's future was going to be, and showed some really good planning on the part of the creative folks at NXT. I assume, you know, Triple H is kind of the guy who usually gets credited with NXT's takeover, or excuse me, NXT's kind of creative direction. But in any event, you know, the night when they lost a main event tag match to the Authors of Pain, it looked like their run in that title scene was kind of done. Ciampa turns on Gargano in a pretty classic moment. You know, making it clear that they're going to feud from there. But then in that same night, Ciampa gets injured. So he's out of action. And, you know, at the time, it seemed like this terrible waste because, you know, we weren't going to get this feud, you know, right as it was, you know, gearing up to get really hot between them. But I think in some ways it turned out to be the best thing for them because it made us all be patient for it. And while Ciampa was on the shelf, Gargano, if anything, got moved up the card, capitalized on kind of the momentum he'd established. And, you know, clearly NXT was ready to push him as a single star. And he wound up being not only a single star, but one of the very top ones competing over for the NXT championship against Andrade. So it set it up that when Ciampa came back, they were pretty naturally going to have a really high profile match. And it fell totally within place, and, you know, being positioned as the main event at the NXT TakeOver over WrestleMania weekend. So part of what I love about this match is, even just on the entrances, Ciampa's kind of playing, the heel part to a T, no entrance music, just kind of, you know, stalking to the ring. And Gargano comes out to his usual music, but there's just definitely a vibe that this is, you know, a big time match, that this is a grudge match, that this is kind of a culmination of a story they've been telling for some time. You know, and again, in terms of, you know, style and pace and presentation, I think it's just great. 37 minutes of, you know, really solid action, near flawless execution. You know, I take this with a grain of salt, but I think the Wrestling Observer did give it the full 5 stars. So, you know, just a great match from top to bottom. You know, and I think the only thing that, you know, in retrospect takes away from this match, it has nothing to do with the match itself or, you know, that particular night, but more so this idea of kind of sequel culture that we kind of have going on nowadays. So, you know, the match is extremely well received. Gargano wins it in very poetic fashion, using a knee brace that kind of feeds into his whole story with Ciampa, with Gargano escape to make him tap out. You know, that's all great. But then, because it's so well received and because the feud is so hot, they carry it forward. So the next, you know, NXT TakeOver special, they're having a Chicago street fight in the main event spot. You know, I think that match is excellent as well. I think an argument could be made that it's of, you know, a very comparable caliber and, you know, worthy of 5 stars, whatever that means. But I would argue it's not as good. And Ciampa does win that match. And it sets up a little bit of a template for, okay, there's got to be another match now, because now they've each won one, and now the bad guys won one. So, you know, there has to be some stab at revenge. So they have a last man standing match in Brooklyn after that. And in my book, you know, the overall action is still great. These guys are both extremely talented. They have great chemistry with each other. But this is where the rivalry kind of goes off the rails, in my estimation. Because in Brooklyn, the last standing match, they really go all the way with trying to tell this story of Gargano kind of coming to the dark side. Because he's been, you know, this valiant hero the whole way through. And then in this case, he has Ciampa, you know, pretty much beaten. But it's established that, you know, he just can't get enough. He wants to keep punishing him. And he goes after him to the extent that finally Ciampa does ultimately steal the win. Because Gargano didn't accept it when he had the match won. You know, and I get that story. There's certainly a logic to it. But I'd argue that it's sort of diminishing returns with this story. You know, each time, each iteration, and each time that they try to get a little bit more poetic in the storytelling, I'd argue it got a little bit weaker kind of in how it was pulled off. And all signs were pointing towards these guys were going to clash again. NXT TakeOver 25. Ciampa got hurt again and had to forfeit the title. So that match turned into Gargano and Adam Cole wrestling over the vacant title. And Adam Cole kind of usurped the spot that Ciampa had. Obviously, he's a very different wrestler, plays a different kind of heel, but nonetheless fills in that role as heel champion and kind of your arch rival for Gargano for a little bit there. Gargano got his title win, at that NXT TakeOver 25 show, but then later on dropped the title to Cole, and Cole kind of got the better of the exchange overall. And now all signs point to that we actually are going to get at least one more iteration of Gargano Ciampa over this coming WrestleMania weekend, assuming WrestleMania doesn't get canceled for coronavirus. As of the time I'm recording this, that has not happened, but a lot of stuff is getting canceled. So it's not unrealistic that could become a reality at this point. But I think ultimately, the upcoming confrontation that's kind of been implied, it's looking like Gargano's going to be the heel this time around. Ciampa will be the face. That at least is sort of a fresh dynamic for them, and it has been a while. So, I'm sure the match mechanically will be great. I'm sure they'll tell a compelling story. But this is the kind of match, when we go back to, the match I'm, kind of featuring here, the one that I think was the best of the series in New Orleans. I think it does point to a little bit of a dynamic of, when should promoters just kind of leave money on the table? When do we say, wow, that match was great, and not let that lead to, we need to do it again, but rather have that settle as, okay, that was great. Now it's gone to something else because there's other stories to be told, and we're not going to top that anyway. And we live in a culture of sequels. It's why so many movies are sequels, and why so many television shows are spinoffs of each other, or retreads of, old show concepts. Some of it works better than others, but I would say that, this is a kind of a prime example of, you do something great. And I think it probably would have been better off just more or less being left at that, or at least putting some more space before they revisited the issue. But okay, so to carry on from here, I'm each of these episodes, I'm reading a piece from the book, The Long Way Home. So this time I'm going to read a piece called Lessons Learned. This is from part two of the book. So I discussed this, in brief in some of the previous shows, but the way the book is set up, the first part is a collection of linked flash called Autopsy and Everything After that follows, one wrestler around. Part two is called Erica. It follows a wrestler named Erica around on her journey through wrestling. And part three is called Going Home, and it's separate short stories that deal with different characters and aren't linked in quite the same way. This is Lessons Learned. This is from the Erica portion. I'll just get into it. So Lessons Learned. There were compliments and contradictions in what Erica had learned about professional wrestling from her mother and what she learned from Tigress Numero Uno. Mom taught her to walk down the aisle to the ring with confidence, with purpose, before she transitioned to adding a tremor to her step, a moment of hesitation to play scared, to sell the story that she wasn't ready. Tigress taught her to fly off the top rope, first leaping forward, then backward, twisting, turning, tumbling from the sky. Mom taught her to save her money, because she'd never have as much left as she thought. You shouldn't have to wrestle when you're my age. You want to be your choice. Always get the economy rental car and pack it with five bodies, three in the back. Pack it with six, one laying across them. That one can sleep for a few hours, then take a shift driving. Tigress taught her to spend her money. The custom-made ring boots with her initials made her look the part of a star over the generic white ones. That skipping the continental breakfast in the hotel lobby in favor of a real steak and eggs meal offered real protein, real energy, real vida. Mom taught her to sleep as many as you could fit into the motel room, as many as were good to pay their way. Tigress taught her the benefits of booking a room for two. Mom taught her never to get in a shoot fight, a real battle, without planned spots or cooperation, without a predetermined victor. Tigress challenged her to wrestle, but for real. She said, in a real fight, you learn what your body can do. You learn things you'd never imagine. Mom taught her not to get hurt. That first time they wrestled for real, Tigress caught Erica's neck and arm between her thighs in a triangle choke on the bed. Erica fought to breathe, face inches from Tigress's crotch. When she tapped out, Tigress loosened, but did not release the hold. She said in the sing-song voice of a schoolyard bully that if Erica wanted her to let go, she'd have to kiss it. And Erica asked, kiss what? Mom taught her to live her gimmick, in front of the marks, but to maintain a line between fact and fiction, not to lose herself to kayfabe, make-believe of wrestling, or she could never live in the real world again. And Tigress, for all these months, Erica hadn't seen her without the mask, hadn't learned any other name for her. So that night when they wrestled again in private, that night when Erica pinned her, kneeling her body weight down on her shoulders, that night when she had won, she let go of her hold on Tigress's thigh inside her elbow and went for the mask. Slow, tender, the way she'd approach petting a cat, she thought. There's nothing to be afraid of. You can trust me. Erica didn't know exactly how it had happened, but just that one moment she had her thumb beneath the lip of the mask, she had moved it. The next moment, Tigress had her. She'd contorted two bodies in one fluid motion and threaded Erica's right side into a cross arm breaker that threatened to pop her elbow. She had to tap. Forget the mask. She had to save herself. Mom taught her not to trust anyone completely in the business, because when it comes down to it, there were only so many high-profile spots to go around. So many championships, so much money. The matches may have had predetermined outcomes, but that didn't mean professional wrestling wasn't about competition. But that night, when Tigress snored softly, it occurred to Erica that this woman trusted her not to take the mask in her sleep. And Erica trusted her, too. More than she had anyone since her mother cradled her body, that first lesson in the living room floor about how to lock up, how to take a fall, how to transition from headlock to hammerlock, and the myriad possibilities that might unfold from there. Erica was that comfortable here, eyelids heavy, transitioning from war to peace to slumber. Okay. So again, that was Lessons Learned from my new book, Long Way Home. It was originally published in Rathala Review. So thanks for listening. The Long Way Home is available from Cowboy Jamboree Press, distributed through Amazon. Follow me on Twitter at Mike T. Chin or visit miketchin.com for more details.